You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you an exciting episode number 91. So it's going to be a relatively straightforward and quick episode this week. Not too much going on. The usual news, entertainment stuff, and all that. I'll have a film review, a Star Wars profile. No video review for this week, but for the review that I am going to be doing, I did do a blog post, so it is already up online at patelN01.com and geek-io.net. So if you want to check it out there, I'll have links in the show notes, or link in the show notes to that full post. That I cover here, so if you want the step-by-step instructions, screenshots, and all of that good stuff, I'll have that as well. So with that, I will jump right into it. So the theme for this week is amended return. This is in relation to tax returns. So when, let's say you have fully filed your tax return, and there's a change that needs to be done for, let's say you entered it incorrectly, there's a miscalculation in your final figures, or any figures for that matter. There's additional credits owed. You received additional documentation or revised documentation, and you now need to submit that information. You submit an amended tax return, and it's basically, it's a return that's filed to make corrections to your previously filed tax return. It can be for the current year that you're filing the tax returns for, or prior years. Returns as well. There is a limit to how far back you can go, so it's not necessarily for every single prior tax return you've ever filed, but if you do need to go back and make certain revisions, there are changes that can be made, and if you're not sure, always talk to a tax professional to help you out with that. So with that being said, I'll jump right into this week's tech news. So to start it off, Google Earth for the web and for Android, and currently Google Chrome specifically for the web, got an update with a feature called Voyager. This basically lets you go on a guided tour using Google Earth. So if you want to have a 3D view of certain areas, you can do that. You can also do or click on I'm Feeling Lucky to go to somewhere random at the click of a button. And there's an all new 3D button, so you can easily get into 3D mode in Google Earth as well. Other browsers and iOS support will be coming soon, so right now you are limited to Google Chrome and Android, but the update or other support for other platforms will be coming soon. PayPal will soon be integrated with Android Pay, so if you use Android Pay and/or PayPal, then look out for that update coming soon. Apple has made a number of their software available for free for iPad, iPhone, and Mac, including the iWork Suite, iMovie, and GarageBand. Instagram for Android is getting an update to now have an offline mode with the iOS support coming soon. So if you've ever wanted to browse Instagram offline, that will be a new feature. The developers of Apex Launcher, a launcher for Android, announced that they will be coming out with new features in May of 2017, as well as support for Android 7, Nougat, and beyond. Google updated PhotoScan to now have the ability to turn off the glare check that it does. So if you want to just take a picture and there is no actual glare on the picture, then you can take that picture that much more quickly and easily, and it just takes that one picture and it's done. And then it also will now support higher quality pictures if your device supports it, so look out for that update. Google Home got an update to now support up to 6 users, so if you have multiple users in your home, you can do that, and you will have to train your voice for those individual users to have it better support the various voices. Overwatch 3.1, that's the third-party podcast client for iOS, got an update to now add syncing downloaded podcasts to your Apple Watch. So if you're on the go and you just have your Apple Watch and it's been synced, you can have your podcast more readily available. WhatsApp for iOS got an update to now be able to read messages aloud via Siri. So if you ever wanted to just hear your WhatsApp messages, and that is now an option. Google is teaming up with Samsung to now make Google Play Music the default music streaming app for the Samsung Galaxy S8 and S8 Plus. If you are a user of one of these two devices, you'll also be able to upload and stream up to 100,000 songs to your personal library. And when Bixby is launched in later this spring of 2017, it'll also have integration with Bixby, so you can launch and stream your music using your voice, using Bixby and Google Play Music together. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into the feature service review kind of thing. It's a little bit of a mix of everything, but last week with the release of the teaser trailer for Star Wars The Last Jedi, I put together a custom live wallpaper for my Android device using the official teaser poster that they released to the web. So it's a live wallpaper that I actually had created already for my wallpapers. And adding that wallpaper, it actually came out to be a very easy transition. I didn't really have to do much else as far as getting it set up. And I was able to add in media controls and media information as well. So the full post that I was mentioning earlier has a link to the official wallpaper as well as a custom live wallpaper that I have set up. So I am making it freely available to use and download and all of that, so you can check it out for yourself. But basically, as long as you download the file, you should be okay. But some of the things I did was I pulled the material design colors from the Android design guidelines. So it's included in the file are material green, blue, and red. So I have the status bar, weather icon background, and quick launch icon background set to material red, and then the media controls to material blue. But you can adjust the colors if you want to have that contrast between blue and red, or even include a little bit of green like the lightsaber in the trailer. The status bar is basically just a rectangle with the red gradient, with the alternative color set to black, so you have a kind of a 3D look, but it has a little bit of a fade as well. There's a left and right rectangle, left and right rectangle to get the mask on the bottom of the screen, so it masks the white that's at the bottom of the wallpaper. The status bar at the top also masks the white that's around the frame of the image, so I didn't actually change any part of the image. I left that scale and file alone. I just imported it and left it there. So the left side of the mask at the bottom of the live wallpaper has the current weather and our current temperature and condition. The right side has the current day's high and low temperature. The weather icon is the current weather icon. So it's all just whatever the current weather is based on your device's location. And then touching the weather icon also opens up a pop-up widget to the HD widget for the week's forecast. But if you use HD widgets, then you can change it to anything you want. So if you want, for example, the news and weather, or Google News and Weather, you can do that, or whatever else other widgets you have available. I also have a date bar at the bottom just to have the current day and date. I have that tied to my current, or to the Google Calendar schedule widget, but it also works nicely for the Google Calendar month view widget, or whatever else you want to put there as well. And then also I have these widgets sized to fit above the, basically below the status bar and above the weather, current day's weather information, so just whatever is in the wallpaper, so it covers that up as a pop-up widget to there. The quick launch bar is just a quick little rectangle with a red gradient, kind of like the status bar but flipped. And then what, just basically any apps that I use all the time, so a camera, Facebook, gallery, messaging, and things like that. I use the built-in icons that come with custom live wallpaper makers, so if you need want to change them or move them around, change the app shortcuts and all of that, you can do that as needed or change what they do. So if you want them to launch a shortcut, you can do that, or launch a different pop-up widget, then that can also, you can do that as well. And that's basically it. And then I have the track information that doesn't really launch or do anything aside from show the track information. And then you have play, pause, and forward. So you have those media controls as well. And then playing with it over the course of this week, it works nicely with other wallpapers as well, as long as you have nothing at the bottom of your screen that's going to be underneath the various information. And then I'm also starting to play around a little bit with a down and up arrow, so a down arrow to open notifications rather than swiping, and an up arrow for to do a Gmail pop-up widget so that I can have that quick access as well, rather than having to swipe down on my email or swipe down on my screen for notifications, and that way I can even more easily see my emails. But that all that is kind of extra stuff that just adds to the complexity of what's going on the bottom of the screen. Everything I have in the screenshot, it keeps it as simple and minimalistic as possible. So that's all there is for that. So as I mentioned, I'll have a link in the show notes to all of the wallpapers, basically the wallpaper for The Last Jedi, and then the link to the custom live wallpaper, and then the screenshot you see in the album art for the episode is that as well. So as far as some entertainment news for this week, the trailer for Star Wars Rebels Season 4 was released. I think it was late last Friday or last Saturday, so after I recorded the episode. But they also announced that Season 4 will be the final episode for Rebels, and they're working on another project as far as more shows in the Star Wars universe. And then Fox announced that they have renewed the X-Files for its 11th season, so that'll be coming soon. Look out for that. As far as what I watched, it was the usual stuff. So MacGyver Season 1, Episode 21, Cigar Cutter, Into the Badlands, Season 2, Episode 5, Monkey Leaps Through the Mist, Better Call Saul, Season 3, Episode 2, Witness, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Season 4, Episode 18, Noble Regrets, and The Expanse, Season 2, Episode 13, Caliban's War. And I'm continuing to use YouTube TV to watch a lot of these shows, so very easy to use. I'm still impressed. The one thing to remember is that one thing to add to my prior reviews is that it does have pull to refresh. So the one thing to remember is that for live TV, in case you're not sure if it's something that's coming live or recorded, be sure to swipe pull down to refresh and make sure that it is actually a live show. I did a couple of times not do a refresh, and I was watching something that was previously aired from the prior day thinking it was live when it was not. So just a quick tip there on live programming and things like, or basically for live programming and live shows. So with that being said, I'll jump into this week's film review, and it's The Fate of the Furious, the 8th movie in the Fast and the Furious franchise. It's a movie that released on April 14th, 2017, with a runtime of 136 minutes. A summary of the show, or the movie, is that when a mysterious woman seduces Dom into the world of terrorism and a betrayal of those closest to him, the crew faces trials that will test them as never before. It's getting an IMDb rating of 74% with 64% on Rotten Tomatoes with by the critics and 82% by the audience. So, generally well-reviewed, not a great movie, but not bad either. I was reading a few articles early on where they were saying that it was going to beat Star Wars as far as how much it's grossing in its opening weekend. I will say that overall it was a pretty good movie. I did enjoy it. It was worth watching as a good continuation of the franchise. If you did watch the last few movies, then you kind of know what to expect, so they're definitely keeping on par with what they bring. So as far as a review, first off, Dom is the Poe of the Fast and the Furious franchise. So this is basically as far as the opening sequence goes, where Dom races a car for his, I think it was his cousin, and he can basically race anything, was that impression I got. He did a quick upgrade of the car, added some NOS, and he was able to drive it. And it kind of reminded me of Poe Dameron from The Force Awakens, where he can fly anything. So that didn't really bug me, as brought a slight, I don't want to say joy, just basically just entertainment to my face that that's kind of how we're having Dom, where he can kind of drive anything, do anything, and make any car suit his needs for whatever situation he's in. Next up, how did Cypher think that Dom would let her mess with his family? So she kept bothering him about it, that to him, family is the most important thing, and we do get over the course of these movies that family is very important to Dom. So I don't know how she thought that she would be able to hold his family over him. I'm not going to really spoil the this part of the movie, but I will say I did like that they didn't include, or that they were able to keep Brian and Mia out of the movies just by the same. They didn't overthink it and they didn't underthink it. They just left it at, they want to be left out, so they're going to leave them out of the whole game of what that they're playing. That Russian submarine sure is easy to hack into and control remotely. So the one thing that kind of, I mean, they didn't do a bad job or a good job at it, but they were able to hack into the Russian submarine because I guess they did set it up to the point where Cypher is able to get into any computer system. But I kind of wanted to see a little bit more of that hacking and breaking into the submarine. It seemed too convenient that they would be able to break into it. I guess on the flip side, it does show their skill at being able to break into that submarine, but I would think if you have a government-controlled submarine, then you would be able, there would be more security in place. And finally, why didn't Foreman get to have a serious fight with anyone? So the one thing that surprised me, and I didn't really check the cast beforehand, but the character, or the guy who plays Tormund, Giant's Bane from Game of Thrones, was actually in this movie as the number two Cypher. So I actually liked his character, did a pretty good job, but I kind of wanted him to have a good fight, kind of like we did in the last movie between The Rock and Jonathan Statham. And I kind of wanted to even to be, or even a better fight with Dom and him when they're on the plateau in the before they get to the submarine. But I kind of wanted his character to be able to be a little bit more than what they had, but it was good to have him in this movie nevertheless. So overall, I did enjoy the movie. It's good overall. I like what they're doing with the franchise, so I would give it that 75-85% grade. It was good. I'm glad they didn't really have to bring back Brian or do anything fancy with that, or even call in Mia. Granted, they probably could have done something, but I just feel like they are respecting how they ended the last movie. So overall, if you've been watching the movies, definitely worth continuing to watch them and stay with the franchise. So with that, I will jump into this week's Star Wars profile, and this is a character that they announced last week that they would be adding to Star Wars Rebels Season 4, and it's a character named Rukh, that's R-U-K-H. He's a male Nogri warrior from the planet Hanogar. He first served as a bodyguard on his homeworld, and then later as an assassin for Grand Admiral Thrawn. He's initially loyal to the Empire because they claim to be restoring his homeworld after it was ravaged during an ecological disaster. So it's kind of his way of supporting the Empire because they said they would help out the planet. But he went on to eventually kill Thrawn after he learned that the Empire wasn't actually rebuilding his planet, but keeping it in a perpetual state of disarray and lying to the Nogri that they were rebuilding it to keep them enslaved. So once he learned about that, he went on a mission to kill Thrawn. His initial attempt failed, but his follow-up attempt did succeed, so he was the one to bring down Thrawn. A bit of fun fact, he was at Thrawn's side during the recruitment of the Dark Jedi Jorah Sebaoth, so I don't know if this is going to remain as or become canon or stay as a Legends bit of information. He also failed to capture Leia Organa on one of his missions, and he unsuccessfully attempted to stop Luke Skywalker from breaking Talon Karrde out of the prison on Chimera, so he did have interactions with a few key characters in the Star Wars universe. This is, at the moment, I want to say this is all still based on Star Wars Legends information, so we'll see how they bring him into the Star Wars universe as far as Rebels goes in Season 4 and what kind of things they do, or even if they bring Luke Skywalker and Leia Organa both into Season 4. I would say that they might bring him or show his as a guest, that they would attempt to show his kidnapping of Leia Organa, because they have already had her in Rebels, and I think I want to say Season 3 in the first half, so we'll see where they go with that. But it'll be interesting overall to see how they animate him and all of that, and even as a contrast to Jeb that we have on the crew of the Ghost. So that's all there is for this particular episode of Life of an Accounting Droid. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that, you can email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. And you can reach out to me all in there and all that. If you want to check out past episodes, get links to social media sites and all of that good stuff. Find out how to support the show, you can visit PatelN01.com. And of course, if you like this show and any show on the Geek.io network, be sure to visit geek-io.net. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.